Welcome to chapter 79 of Memoirs of a White Guy. I feel like I was only laughing about chapter 69 only yesterday, but time flies when you're making shit jokes. So it's episode 79. Holy shit. All right. So if you can't already tell, your boy's voice is gone. I can't speak. I've been choking on Wang. I've been just sick. I'm not sick though, so it's purely my fault. I had a big night on Saturday, and it's Monday now, and I still can't speak. I don't know if you guys heard the radio show yesterday, but it was me pretending I wasn't hungover. I very rarely go out. I think I drank since Australia Day. Australia Day was a loose one, pretty much. But on Saturday, I was celebrating my birthday with a few friends because it's my birthday tomorrow. So we went out, and I kind of forgot halfway through the night that I had the, you know, like I had a radio show and a job and shit and responsibilities. It's a thing where when you're going out, like, you know, when you're 18 and whatever, and you're like, who gives a fuck? I got uni or whatever the next day. And this is the first time I've ever had a proper job. And because I don't drink much as it is, I was like, yeah, it's Saturday. I can do what I want. Who cares about tomorrow? And I got up Sunday. I was like, oh, I got to go to work. So, yeah, it was good, though. All the boys and all the stuff, we all got to catch up. It's good seeing your high school mates again and stuff. And it's not because, like, I really got that drunk or whatever. It was one of those bars that was so loud to talk. Like, Lewis doesn't drink at all. He's completely sober. And he came back the next morning and was like, man, I can't speak properly. It was so loud in there. Everyone's just yelling at each other. Everyone's like, how are you? Good? This is fun. It's one of those bars. But, we had a good night. So, what I want to talk about other than me dying here. It's my birthday tomorrow. That's a thing. It gets to a point, like, I'm turning 22 tomorrow, and that's not fun anymore. That isn't fun. No one's like, ooh, 22, nothing happens, because you can do anything when you're 21 everywhere in every country. I mean, in Australia, you turn 18, and you can do whatever the fuck you want. But it comes with, like, the consequence of, if you do whatever the fuck you want, you have to go to jail, not juvie. But it also means you got a lot more freedom, but if you get your dick out near a school, jail for you, my friend. But if you're 17 and you get a dick out at your school, you'd be like, I was pissing. I go to school here. And they're like, oh, all right, man, just do it at the toilet next time. And they give you a slap on the ass. And then he goes to jail because you're 17 and he slapped your ass. So that's the only, like, good thing about getting older in Australia. But once you're 22, I mean, I'm not 22 yet. I'm 22 tomorrow. But when you're listening to this, guys, on the Tuesday, I'm going to be 22. Wow. I'm a grown up. So if you listen to this, your boy is, I probably have grown a beard by then. I will probably have grayer hair. I'll be walking around in my Zimmer frame, just yelling at fucking kids to get off my lawn. I don't know what it's going to do to change me, but, I've bought a pair of boots, as you heard last week. So your boy's growing up. I feel like I've learned how to handle my boots, guys, during the week. Last week, I'll be honest, I was a bit too big for my boots. You guys met Boot Luke, and I didn't like him. I don't think many people did. Boot Luke is a part of me that I suppress, push away, and then occasionally it gets out. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie. Is it Click? No, what's the movie? No, Sweet Click. No. What's the movie with the ball guy and he has multiple person? No, Click is that fucking Adam Sandler film, you dickhead. Where he has the remote. What am I thinking of? Film with multiple personalities disorder. It's called Split. I found Split, right? So if you haven't seen this movie, Split, right? It's where this creepy guy kidnaps these girls, and then he has multiple personality disorder, so he, like, goes in talks to them as different personalities. So like one is like this old woman, he's like, oh, hi, whatever. And then the other one is like this creepy, rapey guy. And the other one is like this little kid. He's like, he genuinely switches between like an 8-year-old kid, a 40-year-old rapist, like an old woman. Like, and this guy is like mentally deranged or whatever. It's kind of a creepy movie, but it was really interesting. And I feel like that's the only way I can explain Boot Luke. It's like I put the boots on and then I forget. Like, I just become this new person and I become a dick. I just start, you know, like, I don't know. I don't really know how to describe Boot Luke other than it's a versatile boot. So it means I probably have a business meeting in the morning, but then I'm camping by sunset. And then, like, oh, where is he now? Oh, he's on his way to a coffee shop. What's that? Oh, he's kicking the barista in the face. Because I'm confident when I wear the boots as well. So as soon as I put them on, old Luke just goes. Anyway, but the point is, I think during the week, I'm slowly learning how to handle my boots. I feel like they're almost a good fit. Like, they're comfy to wear, but they're almost a fit for my personality now. Like, I wore them out on the weekend, and I would say I only did like 4 cocky things. And that's almost regular Luke anyway. I mean, when the bouncer was like, ID, and I was like, oh, dude. I always hate that because I'm like, there's no way that I look 18. I mean, maybe. Like, how fucking thick are you? Like, I hadn't shaved in a while. I was like, man, do I look like I just finished high school? I mean, probably, you know what? I probably do. And and that's why he asked me. But Boot Luke, I had the boots on, and he's like, ID. And I was like, seriously? He's like, yep, ID. And then, you know, regular Luke took over and I handed him his ID. But afterwards, when he handed my ID back, man, I was mad. Oh, dude, one of my mates got scanner banned from the place. Like, I don't know if you guys are like, if you're younger or whatever, but when you go out to like clubs or bars or whatever, you put your ID in this scanner and it scans your face to see if it's really you. It helps them like see if it's a fake ID. And it also can ban people in the system if you've been a dickhead at their venue. And my mate tried to get in next to me and he'd been banned from every single bar in the area because a week beforehand he tried to steal an umbrella. And you know what? It was like, yep, no arguments. The guy's like, sorry, mate, you're banned. And he goes, why are you banned? And my mate was like, yeah, I tried to steal an umbrella from here last week. And the guy goes, well, that'll do it. It's like the most Australian interaction. Just two guys acknowledging that he fucked up. And the other guy's like, mate, my hands are tied. I'm not allowed to let you in. And he's like, yep, fair enough. And he went home. He just couldn't do anything. He's like, yep, we tried. We came. We failed. And my mate just had to go home and like sit under no umbrella because he didn't even steal it properly. He got busted. So unsuccessful night for him. But yeah, guys, I think the boots, I'm learning how to handle it. And there was a vote in the podcast group, the Memoirs of a White Guy Facebook group. Get in there if you're not a part of it. You just find it on my page in the group section or whatever. We did a vote. Do people want to see Boot Luke at the shows this year on my tour? Or do people want to see regular Luke? Now, basic Luke came back way ahead. No one wants to see Boot Luke. But what about if I told you? What about if I promised you all that I had it, that I had Boot Luke under control? So what about if I wear the boots on stage each night? But I compose myself and I give off basic Luke. Like I reckon Boot Luke with the right amount of training and mind control could become basic Luke. I think that could become my new look. I think basic Luke might just be a pro version. You know how you can get like pro versions of software, like download bloody Final Cut Pro, and it's like, you know, it's better than the free version. Perhaps you guys have just been watching the trial version of me for about 3 years now and all my content, and now your boy wants to upgrade to Pro with his boots, and people aren't letting him. People want to suppress my new look. Perhaps that maybe I want to be a boot guy. Still haven't decided yet, but you know what? I'm not going to say what I'm going to do. You just gonna have to come to the shows. like anyone's going like, well, now I'm going to buy a ticket. Well, fuck. I mean, I wasn't interested in his commie, but his comedy, but now I want to see if he wears boots or not. I'm not going to say what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave that one in the open. I may wear boots. I may not. We'll see. But all I'm saying is I'm learning how to handle the boots. I think they can become a positive thing, not a negative thing. And I look forward to moving on with boots on my feet and moving forward and progressing in life. Now, guys, on to the next thing. Who is thinking? I don't know what to do. You know what? I might do it like I did last year. Obviously, Bachelor in Paradise is back. So what does that mean? It means that I'm going to cover it at length in every week's podcast. Why? Why, you asked? Oh, because it's the best television show in the world. I've seen Game of Thrones. I've seen How I Met Your Mother. I've seen The Office, okay? All very funny shows, very well written. Not Game of Thrones isn't that funny, but it's very well written, great, excellent budget. But if you haven't seen Bachelor in Paradise yet and are judging me right now, going, Luke, I've watched way better show than whatever the fuck that shit is. Okay, I didn't want to hear about it, okay? Well, strap the fuck in, because I'm going to blow your mind. You ain't seen television like this before. Oh, but Married at First Sight's pretty good. All right. Yeah, okay. Forcing people to marry against their will, pretty good television. Getting all your favorites, all the bitches, all the villains, all the good guys, all the bad guys from every past Bachelor and Bachelorette season, then putting them on an island, flying them out of their natural habitat into a resort where they just fight and fuck for 10 weeks. That, ladies and gentlemen, is entertainment. It's an all-stars match of every single good, bad, hated, loved Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants just in this put together in a swimming pool, just trying to fuck each other. And then they fight because it's like, oh, I want to fuck her. No, I want to fuck her. Oh, but she gave me a Remy last week. No, but that's not even a lie. Like, I'm one episode in and like one of the girls has already sucked one of the guys off in the past before the show. Like, they're like, yeah, we had a, like that. But they were like, oh yeah, we hooked up. I was like, all right, you licked his asshole. Okay, you just didn't want to say that shit on national TV. Okay, you licked his rim and you're coming on TV and be like, we hooked up once. Okay. Cool. If that's what you want your mum to think when you're watching the show, even she knows you licked his asshole, okay? Just say it. I mean, I know it's not great. Rim chat isn't great for the 7:30 PM time slot. But, you know, actually, we had our first rim job joke on the show, on the radio show, guys, this week. Just applaud that. Yep. Blake Everett, very funny comedian, very good friend of mine, came on the show. And I was like, oi, can I sing this song? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, because he does a bit of musical comedy in his show. And he came on our show, did an interview, then played a song. And I knew what song he was going to play, and I've heard the song at gigs before. And I was like, yeah, from memory, it's pretty PG. And then I did remember there was one reference to a rim job. And I was like, ah, that's fine. If he just sings it, it seems clever if it rhymes. You know, like if Lewis and I came on air and just started talking about butt licking, then I guess, you know, that's not very appropriate. But if it's in a song and there's a bit of guitar in the background, that's fine. I mean, we didn't check with anyone, but that seems fine, doesn't it? So he comes in and Lewis has never heard the song before. He's just playing away and it's a little, just go listen to Friday's podcast, right? And then all of a sudden it's like mentions this girl from his high school who's now a stripper going from rim to rim. And then Lewis just lost his shit laughing. And then right into the microphone, Blake Everett just goes, anal licking, anal licking on radio. This is why they were unsure about giving us a radio show. It took 4 months before someone on the Luke and Lewis show went anal licking into the microphone. That's some good shit. Oh, man. And then Michael Schaefer came on our show. And I think he almost did a blowjob joke. But luckily we cut it out from the car interview. He made a joke about Cardinal Pell, but apparently that we drew the line there. It was not my call, it was the producer's call. But anyway, very proud moment, guys. First rim gag on the show. So, what was I talking about? Oh, that's right. The girls in The Bachelor sucking butthole. So, the Bachelor in Paradise, right? I mean, I was going to talk about it at the end of the podcast, but we're already doing it now. So, I mean, let's be honest. Even if you don't watch the show, you will now. Because you'll be like... Because I know the teenage guys listening to this will be like, oh, wait, is the girl sucking butthole on TV? I'm going to go watch. But all, like... The people aren't retarded. So the girls who listen to this podcast, they're all like, oh, I get that Luke's being ironic, but it still sounds entertaining. And then they go watch it anyway. But yeah, I mean, I can guarantee that if you don't watch it in 3 weeks after I still keep talking about this show, you'll be like, bro, I need to check this shit out. Because here's the thing. It's the best show. If you're into travel, if you're into like, or mainly not travel, if you're just into watching 10 weeks of a show set in Fiji, then great, get on board. If you're into Osher Gunsberg, then bang, go watch. I mean, so that's already 100% of the population, because about 10% of the population are into travel, and then 100% of everyone is into Osher Gunsberg, okay? Like, on the am I into Osher Gunsberg Venn diagram, there's no middle section, it's just a circle, and it's 100% fucking full. Okay, because Osher's hair this season, if you guys thought Osher Gunsberg's hair was immaculate on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette last season, you ain't seen nothing yet. If you haven't checked out Bachelor in Paradise yet, and everyone who has watched it already will be nodding their heads right now, be going, oh yeah, it's next level. I mean, I think, what do we, I worked out last time how long he, someone told me how long he spends on his hair. It was on the podcast. I don't know. One of you guys probably remember. I don't. I think it was like 2 hours he takes or some shit to do his hair. If he's spending 2 hours on The Bachelor doing that, oh man, he's spending a good 4 because it's twice as good. It kicks up at the front. Like you could snowboard down that slope on the front of his hair. It looks like a solar panel, but like one that you'd want to, you know, like a solar panel forehead that you'd want to introduce to your parents. That's the only way I can describe Osher Gunsberg's cut. It's happening. It's trendy. It's now. It's Osher. I mean, Osher should be a verb. Like, just like, oh, how do you describe that? It's Osher. Boom. Poor Osh. I mean, I love Osh, but... I mean, I feel bad for him. There's probably just a queue of sluts every day just wanting to get a gaze of that cut in the flesh. And when I say sluts, just a queue of me and all my clones like knocking on his door every day. What can I say? I love the man. You know what the funny part is, though? Like, if all things go well for me, like in entertainment, et cetera, then there's one day there is a... There's a high possibility, if things keep going well, that I'll get a photo with Osher Gunsberg. And that excites me and stuff and everything. Oh my God, one day I might be able to meet the man himself and like, you know, bow down or whatever. But what the fuck? Do I just wear a hat? I can't be seen next to that haircut in a photo. It looks like a toupee, but I know it's real. And it just, when I say toupee, like an amazing... Maybe I should get a toupee and that would still look better than my regular cut. I mean, I don't really care about my hair. I don't put too much effort into it, but like, I don't mind my haircut, but it's no Osher Gunsberg. Like, I'm not an idiot, okay? I have eyes, I've got a fucking mirror, okay? So when one day, if I'm ever put in a situation where I have to be next to Osh, I might just panic and just, I mean, wear a bandana or like, I don't know, or maybe like what those girls do on Snapchat, how they cover their face with their hands and stuff. I just might do that to my fucking hair. You know, like just girls who have, like have zero self-confidence and they just like go, and they pretend that like, I don't know, like girls, by the way, we know, okay? We know what you're doing. Oh, I've just got my hoodie over my mouth. Yeah, it's because you have fuck teeth, okay? Yeah, we're not stupid, but guys with fuck teeth just go, oh, boys, look at my fuck teeth. The girl's like, oh my God, we can never see that. And then you meet them in person and you're like, ah, right, didn't see that. It's like, mate, your Tinder profile looked a lot different. You didn't show your buck teeth on that, okay? Anyway, so it's like that with my hair. I'll just have to like put my hoodie over like my hand casually resting on my head as Osh's and just smiles and looks immaculate while I just look like a wet fish beside him just trying to fit in. Anyway, Bachelor in Paradise, guys. Boy, oh boy, what a first ep. So, there was drama. There was butthole licking, as you've already thinking. So what happened, right? Tara was the first person to be let into paradise. I'm going to say paradise. It's just like a 4.5-star hotel. There's a nice pool. There's a couple of deck chairs. Honestly, they could have lashed out a little more. It looks great, but Channel 10, you can tell, are struggling a bit at the moment. And they were like, how can we create a TV show in a resort? Like the first date, like they went on a date, right? You know, like back in the day when The Bachelor had a budget, they were like helicopters, big boats. This was like, they gave him a deck chair, a picnic basket, and they had a couple of fire dancers. Just probably the producers just put on a tribal gown, just going, yeah, fucking spinning fire and shit. Like that was the level of budget that was put in, right? And so Tara arrives. She has a chat with Osha. Obviously, the first thing Tara says is, Osha, your hair looks amazing. Osha didn't even really say thank you. He just knew. Osha just nodded and said, yes, it's great. It's great that someone has acknowledged the 4 hours of effort that I put into this every single episode. And Tara goes in. She's there by herself. The thing that got me was, so it's a show where like they all come in, and usually the show starts off with the girls meeting the guy, because usually 21 girls going for one guy on The Bachelor. Because this is just like some fucking Big Brother version of The Bachelor, she's the only one in the house as like, or in paradise, right? In the resort yet. So she just starts hitting up the bartender. There's this like Fijian local bloke. He's like, hello, beautiful. How are you going today? And they start chatting and stuff. And then he's like, oh, you look, and he was pretty much like, he pretty much seen the Amy ad. He was like, Tara, you look beautiful like a sunrise. Like it was Katut. It was Katut from, and he was like, he was hitting on Rhonda again, but he was hitting on Tara. And then this big, who was the first guy walked in? Some hunky bloke. Oh yeah. There was this dude on the show who just looked like a Ken doll, and it came up with his like name and info, and he was 36. Dude, if I look like that at not even, I would never look like that. Who am I kidding? If I look like that at 36, I don't even look like that now. I'm 22. You know, do you know how depressing that is? I look at myself in the mirror every day and I go, this is your peak. Like this is as good as it gets. Maybe in 3 years when I'm 25, this will be my physical peak forever. It will never get this good. And I mean, I don't have a shit rig, but I'm like, yeah, I can do like 65 push-ups without stopping and then I'm fucked. Like, and I'm done for a day of exercise. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, that's not ideal. Like, I know when like, who's like a ripped AFL player? You know what? Any AFL player must look at themselves in the mirror and be like, yeah, this is my physical peak and I'm happy about that. I think 95% of the population just must look at themselves and go, this is my physical peak. But old bloody Kendall on The Bachelor in Paradise, this bloke is 36 and I reckon he's 3 years away from his peak. He's so good looking, but he doesn't look like it's going to stop. Like his looks are just on a trajectory that is still going to keep going up. I forget what the dude's name was. Like to me, he was just a piece of meat. I don't even remember what his personality was like. I just saw him and I was like, you suck. And you can tell he's been good looking for years. Like he popped out of his mum's bloody, I don't know why I didn't want to say vagina then. I hesitated. Fuck it. He popped out of his mum's puss, and then his mum was probably like, what a fucking slut. What a hottie. What a, look at that rig. This dude probably had a six pack as a baby. Right? So that's like most of the guys in there. It's just, oh, by the way, it's a massive cock fest. There's like three more dudes than girls, right? So, which is genius. The people who produce this show, geniuses. Because they put people in a situation where they are quite literally forced to fight with each other over a girl. And outside, like, these are the type of girls that they're, I guess they're attractive, but they've all got shithouse personalities, except for Tara. She's the man, right? They've all got shithouse personalities, so they put them in the thing. And outside of this, they wouldn't be fighting over this girl. Like, there's no way. There's two guys fighting over Leah. If you don't know who Leah is, Leah's a bitch, okay? She got mental problems. She a crazy hoe, okay? No guy is like, oh, fucking get in line for that. No. She's like, break up with her, you come home, and all your shit's on the lawn, and she's burning the house down. She's a psychopath, okay? Like, you, oh, hey, Leah, sorry, we, like, you've been on a one date with her, and you're like, sorry, Leah, we can't see each other anymore. Well, fucking say goodbye to your toaster, your bed, and your ensuite, okay? And everything else your own. Because she's crazy and she ain't giving that shit back. But inside this context of a TV show and they're all in bikinis and they're all looking, they're all oiled up on TV, all these guys are like, yeah, I want to fuck her. But no, you don't. You'll regret that shit. I mean, you've just Instagram stalked her. That was funny, actually. The way they all introduce each other like they don't know who each other is. Like a guy walked up to whoever the girl was and was like, oh, Nina, nice to meet you. Don't pretend you haven't stalked that girl on Instagram. She's a D-cup, man. You don't be like, oh, Nina, yeah? Am I correct? Of course, mate, if you were going on the show, you'd know 100% who's going to be in there and you would have Instagram stalked the shit out of them because it's compulsory for the people to be single. Which brings me to my next point in the show, guys. There's a guy on the show who's got a girlfriend. His name's Brett, right? And this is Brett. This is he's one of my favorite people on the show because he offers fucking nothing and I'm still confused as to why he's there. I mean, Osher Gunsberg isn't even in the show, really. He just hosts it. But Osher, who's not part of the show, technically, he's just kind of is the game maker. He's like that guy in the Hunger Games who just like controls all the fucking big dogs. He's like, that's what Osher does, right? Osher offers more to the actual game than this Brett bloke. His introduction was just, hi, my name's Brett, and he was wearing a shit hat. You know those shit hats the guys wear at festivals? They're like kind of wide-brimmed, and you're like, are you Sherlock Holmes or a sex offender? I have no idea. So he was wearing one of those shit hats, and he's like, my name's Brett, and you mightn't remember. He said, you might not remember me from The Bachelorette season 2. I think I had, oh no, it was the last season. It was like from The Bachelorette season 3 or whatever it was. He goes, I think I said about two words, but anyway, it's great to be in paradise. And then they just cut away, and I was like, why did you get him? I don't even remember who he was, dude. I think he was in like the most recent season with Sophie Monk. Legitimately can't picture his face in that season. Like it showed flashbacks of him talking to Sophie Monk. And I was like, I've watched that show religiously and don't even recognize you. I'm like, oh, maybe I saw you like at Kmart the other day. Fuck, I don't know. He just has one of those faces like me. You're like, yeah, you, I could have seen you before. You look like every tall guy with a beard. So, they've got this bloke, Breton, there. And then turns out Tara is the girl we all like, guys. So get on the Tara train, okay? Tara's the girl we all like. And Tara goes to this other girl. She goes, hey, Brett's dating my friend. Like, I know him outside of the show. And this bloke who offers fucking nothing, who's maybe Sherlock Holmes, but maybe a sex offender. He's like, yeah, he's dating my friend. And the other girl's like, well, why is he here? And then the guy claims, this producer comes up and goes, mate, in an interview, the producer was like, yeah, mate, so are you single? And he goes, well, I'm here, aren't I? And he goes, answer the question, are you single? And he goes, well, mate, I'm not going to answer the question. This dude's got a girlfriend. What does his girlfriend think of this shit? I mean, unless you're trying to become an Instagram model, which he definitely is, because literally his personality, he has the same personality as a fucking doorknob, okay? So, I mean, that's fine if you want to just post pics, but he doesn't even have a good rig. He's like me. He must look in the mirror every day and be like, this is as good as it gets. Poor Brett. No personality. I mean, I'm not saying I've got the best personality in the world, but I like to put myself just above a doorknob. So, buddy, this bloke's got a girlfriend. And the whole show was advertised that creepy Jared from the last season of The Bachelorette, the dude who cried when Sophie Monk dumped his ass on live TV, right? This dude, like, the whole Bachelor in Paradise show. Sorry, I'll stop talking about this for the people who hate it in like 2 minutes. I just, one more thing. So this Jared guy, that they've promoted the whole show that Jared's going to be in Paradise, whatever. He wasn't even in episode one. Like, he's going to be like a latecomer, like an intruder. I mean, it sucked me in because it worked. And they're going to put this girl in. Genius. I watched the promo. They've got this girl. They'll, like, pick any girl from the last Bachelorette seasons. Or Bachelor or whatever the fuck. Yeah, the last girl from one of the Bachelor seasons. Pick the girl who looks the most like Sophie Monk. And they did it. They got this one girl who looks like Sophie Monk 10 years ago when she was in that Blink-182 film clip and she was pretty hot. They put this girl, like Sophie Monk, at her peak. And then they just made her walk in. They positioned Jared right at the door. Genius. Just the people who make this show know how to make content. They positioned Jared looking directly at her as she walks in. And of course, they go, just keep rolling, boys, and we'll get something fucking creepy for the promo. And he just goes, oh, like he moaned. He was like, oh, boys, she's stupidly hot. And it made the promo. And then like 30 seconds later in the promo, it's just him going, I'm sick of being hurt. Why do I keep getting put in this situation? And he's crying his eyes out. Why do I keep getting put in this situation? Oh, me, please pick me. Yep, I've got my hand up. Maybe, Jared, because you keep putting yourself on national TV in that fucking situation. You signed a contract that said, hey, Channel 10, please put me in a situation that is highly likely that me and my thirsty boy tendencies will get humiliated yet again on national TV and then on social media for weeks afterwards. Signed, Jared Creep / Vagina Enthusiast. Sophie Monk Vagina Enthusiast. Okay? Of course. What do you mean? You can't complain. Oh, it feels sad for me. I'm in a pickle again. Dude, there's plenty of guys out there who are creepy and they don't have much luck with girls. They just have the common sense to do it at Cloud 9. Do it at a nightclub. Go to a seedy bar in Brunswick. Do it in Fitzroy. Go to Newtown in New South Wales. Have a wank at a bar. That's what other creeps do, okay? Go to Canberra. It's the whole fucking city, okay? God, I'm just... Canberra's going to hate me now. But you know what I mean? If you're that worried about looking like a dickhead, don't go on a reality show, okay? And don't be a dickhead once you're on the show. All right, that's my Bachelor in Paradise recap. If you can't tell, I'm bloody excited to back. I feel like I'm back in my element. TV is good again. I mean, I don't actually watch it on TV, but I watch it online on bloody 10 Play. So many ads now. Anyway, all right. Oh, one last thing. I think we can all agree to all my girls, all my gals who listen to this, who watch The Bachelor in Paradise, because just assume no guys are into that shit. Can we all agree, gals, my Bachelor in Paradise fam, Kira is the only one telling it like it is at the moment. And Tara. Can we all... Okay, that's it. That's my last sentence. And everyone who's watched it will be like, oh yeah, Kira, she's supposed to be a villain, but she was telling it like it is. Fuck yeah, Kira. I didn't expect her to add anything to the show, and fucking I'm excited. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, what's that? 20 minutes of Bachelor in Paradise chat. Just enough again. All right, last thing before our bloody questions. I read an article. I read during the week, guys. That's what I do now. I'm a reader. I'm practically an author, but I don't... No, that's not what an author is. Guys, I'm practically a reader. Now, I read one. It was the shittest. Some shitty got me in. Clickbait on Facebook. 26 people have way more money than you ever even thought. And I was like, well, shit. Who are the 26 people? I mean, they got me. So I clicked straight away. And I'll go through my favorites, okay? There was some. This was one of the best clickbait articles I've ever read. I'm about to shock you guys as well. BuzzFeed shocked the shit out of me. And I'm about to shock you as thoroughly as they did to your core, okay? First one. Justin Timberlake was paid $6 million for literally singing ba-da-ba-ba-ba for McDonald's. Now, I learned two things from this. One, I did not know Justin Timberlake was ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No idea. And you listen to it now, you're like, oh shit, that's Justin Timberlake. Never thought about it. And two, $6 million for that. I mean, I've got a croaky voice, but with a bit of auto-tune. Ba-da, oh, wait. Ba-da-ba, oh, okay, I've got a really croaky voice. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. I didn't get the last note, but with a bit of auto-tune, where's my money? Hey, Maccas, I'll do it for 50 bucks. You know what? I'll do it, not 50, I'm not cheap. I'll do it for 80, that's my price. If Maccas want to come knocking at the door, let them know. That's all I'm saying. Bullshit. $6 million. I'll probably never make that much money. The creator of the Jeopardy Think music. Now, you guys will know it. This one's the only one that I was like, yeah, money well spent. Jeopardy Think music. Are you ready? The guy who created this song. Do. So just basic, like, elevator think music, right? Guess how much money he earned from that? 70 to 80 million on royalties because it got played on Jeopardy every episode. Money well spent by the company there. That's fucking good think music. This one, couldn't believe it. Judge Judy makes 47 million a year. She only works 52 days of the year doing the show. 47 million to be a bitch to black people. That's what the show is if you haven't seen it. Fucking hell, I can't believe that. 7. When he was in prison, OJ Simpson made $3 million signing autographs. He made more money in prison than doctors make in 4 years. Signing autographs. He killed a family member, didn't he? Yeah, OJ Simpson was the fucking... OJ Simpson was the family guy, yeah? Yeah, right. Yeah, it was his ex-wife. $3 million. What I want to know is... Who's paying for a guy's autograph who killed his wife? Who's like, that's worth $100? I have nothing to say to that. Other than there's horrible... I knew there was horrible people on this planet. But that is phenomenal. That's a fun fact. That's fucking horrible. This one... Oh, that one's not that interesting. It kind of is. Dr. Phil is the highest paid TV host on the planet. He gets paid more than Ellen and Simon Cowell. Dr. Phil. Just talking about, and he's literally like a glorified therapist. Like, that dude's smart and he's funny and, like, his show's actually good. Oh my God. The home phone's ringing. Why? Every time I do my podcast at my house, this is why I don't do it at my house. Because the phone just goes, I'm not picking up a home phone. It's 2018, okay? Unplug that shit. This one genuinely blew my mind. For the final season of Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld made about $13,000 for every single line he said. I'll say that again. He was like, what's the deal? And then $13,000 just went and landed in his bank account. 13. What? No, that's fuck you money. You know what I mean? Every line. And this one, the final one, okay, that I'm going to tell you, the final one that just blew my mind of how people can just make so much money for doing, for entertainment, okay? David Bowie made $9.7 million in 2017 when he was dead. Oh, wasn't even alive. He's just down in the ground, hustling away still. Just his corpse is just laying there, and he's just making bank. I mean, people always talk about that, like, oh, you know, like, Bill Gates makes this much money when he sleeps. Yeah, but he still has a pulse at least. He's still breathing. David Bowie, not here anymore. 9.7 mil. Just, oh, I'm dead, but I'm making cash. He's making more money than that 99% of the population who is alive. I have nothing but respect for that corpse. Okay? I mean, he might have got cremated. I don't know. Either way, those ashes are making bank. That urn is a bloody fucking... That's a wealthy urn. Okay? His inheritance would be insane. Alright. I'm going to do... this one, sorry. I'm just on this website right now, and I'm reading a news story just popped up. This is so funny. That says... Paris Hilton loses $2 million engagement ring while clubbing. Mate, stop complaining, alright? I've had more expensive night outs at Revs, alright? You bloody couple of... A few $11 pints in there and some Uber surge pricing. That adds up. Shut up, Paris Hilton. Why is that news? Why does this shit pop... Oh, you know why it's news, guys? Because I'm on BuzzFeed.com. Never mind. Alright. Question, then that's the end of the podcast. Sorry about my voice, guys. I shouldn't yell for a whole night. But anyway, I'll answer this question, and that's the end of the podcast. It's from Brett. Hey, man, long-time fan, and it's been awesome to see how much you have grown and improved over the last couple of years, and can't wait to see what's next. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Got a couple of questions for the Weekly Dose of White Privilege podcast. One, do you think you'll ever do a cheeky reunion gig for your high school band? Ooh, okay. So, Lewis and I it has been talked about. The idea has come up before. I've mentioned it a couple of times in the podcast. I hate mentioning the name of the band because every time I do, people stalk the page on Facebook and then send me screenshots of me when I was in year 11 playing a bass guitar at a Battle of the Bands competition. And that is not the kind of cyberbullying that I need in my life right now. So I'm not going to say the band's name, but I've said it in the past. Oh, I mean, I have to say it now, don't I? Because otherwise it's frustrating as a listener. Okay, I'll say it once. The band was called, I'll mumble it, all right? If you can work out what I mumble, then you can go look it up and fucking ruin my life with screenshots. The band was called Sunday Heist. Cool. If you got that, then whatever. If you didn't, then who cares? So... I used to be in a high school band, and Brett said, do you ever think I'll do a cheeky reunion gig? So the idea has come up for the radio show where, yes, we get the high school band back together, and then Lewis is the tour manager, and we do a big tour or whatever. But it's something that is completely out of our budget right now. It would be fucking hilarious. It's an idea that perhaps if we ever did a thing like we got on Drive or Breakfast Radio or something with a bit more leeway and a little bit more budget and planning behind it, then yes, that is an idea that we will probably, as long as we're working together or whatever, that is an idea that I'll always want to do, because the idea of getting a high school band back together for no reason is the funniest shit. So I wouldn't hold out hope for it, Brett, but maybe in the next decade we'll get that meme checked off the list. The second question is, how is the environment and culture at the radio station? I'm looking at possibly doing my internship there, and I was wondering what it's like. Thanks, man. The environment and culture of the radio station is the one of the most surprising things I've ever seen. Everyone, I don't know why I was surprised, but everyone there is just lovely. It's positive, it's creative. The difference is about working at a place where people are positive and stuff all the time is people like their jobs. Everyone in the building pretty much wants to be there. They either have a passion for radio or a passion for like putting on events and organizing things and producing content. I mean, I don't really speak to much of the people in sales or whatever, just because we're always busy doing our show and planning content and running around the building filming shitty memes or whatever and pissing people off. But everyone who I've met so far at the company, including people who work in sales and all the different departments, have been lovely, and I could not speak more highly of SCA as a company. This just sounds like I'm sucking asshole right now, like I'm on the fucking Bachelor in Paradise trying to get a root from my employers. But no, it's a positive workspace. The environment is like, it's a real thing where it's, if you just do your job, it's one of the, is everyone does their own job. So if you're like, my job's the tech, that's your job, and that job will get done. But it's kind of thing where like, if sometimes nothing is, like people will just go, yeah, maybe talk to like whatever about that. And you go talk to whatever and they go, oh, that's not really my job. And then you get passed around a few times. And by the end, you realized, oh, I'm going to show some initiative and just do this shit myself. So it's an environment that pushes you to work hard. But they're supportive people, and our bosses and stuff who have been, you know, helping us get good at radio from the start have been incredible. So I would say definitely try and apply for a job at the radio station, whether that's our radio station that we're on or any other one. I'm sure the environment is very similar, but I've heard very good things just from many people in the industry. It's a type of thing where most people who, I've talked about this before, most people who are successful in what they do are therefore happier. So since, I guess, not that I'm bragging or that I think I'm successful or whatever yet, I mean, I've still got a long road to go, but ever since I started achieving, you know, minor success in comedy and entertainment, most of the people, once you kind of move up the ranks, amazing people, because they got there. No one gets to the top being an asshole. So I think when you're at the biggest radio, we work at the biggest radio station in Australia, so they only employ the best people in that field. So once you get to in the building and at that level, I guess you're surrounded by people who are better than you and you can learn from. So it's awesome for us because we're still new and like, oh, what the fuck are we doing? But the people around us are making us better. They're making us work harder. And yeah, the culture and environment is amazing, man. I would highly recommend it and couldn't speak highly enough of the company. And that was another big thing, man. Like, me and Lewis have been doing independent shit for years now. I mean, I had a job to support that, and now I'm lucky enough that comedy is my full-time job and radio is how I get my money now, and touring and stuff. I mean, it's about half-half. It's like half radio, half touring. So everyone who comes to the shows, it's still like the only reason I don't have to get another job outside of radio. But yeah, the reason why I guess Lewis and I have stuck around and have pursued and kept pursuing radio is because at first there was a little bit of uncertainty between us about like, oh, we're already doing well independent. Is this something we want to pursue? And, you know, like we didn't want to get told what we could and couldn't say. And, you know, and like just shit, like we were just a bit concerned going into it. And then as soon as we got in the building, it was completely different. I don't know why I thought it would be like bad or anything, but it's just, The people who we were surrounded by immediately were like, yeah, guys, do your thing. And we were like, oh, shit, this is great. They've hired us because they like what we do outside of radio. So they want us to take that energy just without all the swearing and butthole-looking references and put it on radio. And occasionally we go, hey, guys, sorry, one anal-licking joke is going to slip through. And look, it slips through the cracks. What are you going to do about it? All right, other than fire us. Okay, that could probably fire us. But the point is that we wouldn't be there, Lewis and I, if the environment and culture wasn't something we enjoyed every day. You guys know by now, I'm the type of person that if I don't enjoy something, I will not do it. I will not just sit, you know what I mean? I've done furniture removal before for 3 weeks, and then I was like, this sucks balls, and I never did it again. I needed the money so bad at the time. I was like 16, and I really needed money quickly. I wanted to buy a new guitar or some shit. So I did 3 weeks of furniture removal, and I've never hated anything more in my life. So I just don't do things I don't like. But yeah, culture, great. Couldn't speak highly enough. Cool. That's my answer, Brett. Thank you guys very much for listening. That's the end of the podcast. 1 week. 1 week to my show start. Can I get a hell yeah? Can I get a ooh? Ooh. Sorry. Little excited here. I'm super excited about the shows. I've said it, you guys know where to go. My website for tickets. If you haven't got tickets to Melbourne yet, I could check now, man. The first weekend is so close to selling out, especially the Friday night. And then the Saturday night is like 5 tickets behind that. I think they're pretty much the same. So, guys, get tickets. And also, I don't think I've said this. If you're not fussed about what night you want to come to, and you're like, oh, I don't know, I'll do fuck all, can you guys please come on a Wednesday night? I don't know why I did Wednesdays again. Last year, every Wednesday night, it was just like, people like, oh, I don't want to leave the house. And the room will be like half full or whatever. And so it'd be awesome if you guys had nothing, you guys don't care what night you want to come on, get down either the second Wednesday or the first Wednesday. I'd love to see you at the shows. And otherwise, if you can only do a weekend, whatever, but they're going to fill up very quick anyway. So get on that quick. But otherwise, come on a Wednesday, people. Come join me. I'm still doing the show. All right? It's just going to be on the worst night of the week. So come down on that night. there's a reason why I don't do Monday nights. Everyone has Monday nights at the festival because I think 10 years they worked out that no one wanted to come into the city on a Monday night. So yeah, and some people have Wednesday nights up as well, but I'm like, mate, I'm not fucking taking days off. All right? Today's supposed to be my day off. All right? And I did a photo shoot this morning for my merch. I got up early, did a photo shoot. Then I wrote some stand-up, did some video stuff, and then recorded the podcast. This is like a rest day. Like, you know, Emily's like, what are you doing today? I'm like, just going to kick my feet up, do a photo shoot, do stuff for 8 hours. And then, I might have a hot chockey at night and go to bed. And that, for me, is a relaxing day. So, yeah, this week is my week off before the comedy festival. I needed to take a week off radio because it's, as I just said, it's full on. So we're taking a week off radio. We're still doing the show on Fox on Sundays. And other than that, guys, I'll see you. I'll be doing the podcast shoot next week. So, yeah, see you at the shows. Shows start next Tuesday night in Melbourne. And then Adelaide, Perth. Perth and Brisbane, almost sold out. Brisbane, we might be able to add an extra show. But only if you guys sell it out quick, otherwise not. Perth, unless you sell it out in the next like 2 weeks, we're probably running out of time to add an extra show there. But please don't miss out on tickets to those places. And yeah, see you guys at the shows. Thanks for listening.